'Twas the night before election. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michael.
Hard to believe that tomorrow is going to be the day that we finally up receiving the 10,000 phone calls a day, the surveys, the wheedling and cajoling us to vote for such and such and so and so. It's going to be nice to hear the silence.
Well, it will, if silence is indeed what we hear. I honestly believe that we've set in motion in this culture the nonstop campaign cycle, Charles. So I'm guessing that before the ink's even dried on most of the tallies of the ballots in December, we're going to be hearing from people who are running in the 2014 and possibly lining up for the 2016 tie-outs.
It's interesting you say that, because I think that that reached a peak, actually, in the 2008 cycle, because I remember that the real run for president started in about 2006.
That's true.
Really, I was sick to death of it by 2007. And it didn't start so early this time, and I think people were a little afraid to oversaturate, because I think they oversaturated last time. So I actually think that that acted as a little bit of a restraint. We really only got it for about maybe 13 months this time, at least from what I saw. I mean, there are people that are constantly running for president. Mitt Romney's been running for president since 2008, but it's been very low key. The whole Hillary versus Obama thing really started in 2006. That's where the battle was. So I don't see it quite as, who knows, Barry, you could be absolutely correct. This thing could start heating up immediately. I mean, right after the inauguration in January.
Well, we hope that's not the case, but I will almost guarantee that, Charles, if the outcome of the election is the way that, as we're seeing, and we're taping this on Sunday night, so most of the weekend polling is being done or finishing up, and what you're seeing is, overall, nationally, this race is a dead heat. One or the other of the two major candidates, Barack Obama or Mitt Romney, are ahead by 1 or 2 points in most national and state polls. And in some areas in the country, you have scenarios where I believe that some groups have done polling of those people who have voted early. And the last numbers that I heard on early voting was that Mitt Romney was ahead 51-45 in early voting, a 6-point margin, with about possibly 15% of the actual electorate that's expected to go to the polls already having voted or are in the process of voting in early voting, whether that be absentee balloting, military balloting, or actual direct showing up at your polling place for early live voting scenarios. So if you're looking at 15% of the voting population already casting ballots, and according to those poll numbers, Romney's holding a 6-point lead in those casts, that tells me a couple things. Number one, it tells me that the Republicans have been much better at getting their partisans out, at getting the messaging out to go in and vote early. And also that means that they are probably more likely to have boots on the ground for the last push, because, you know, as I started off the program, I was paying some homage to a well-known Christmas poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, 'Twas the Night Before Election, and all through the land, both candidates were working on their 72-hour plan, and I think that's what they're doing right now. So we're seeing a definite momentum swing in the direction of Governor Romney, and according as, you and I talked about offline, there have also been some folks who are already uttering the words President Romney. But I'll guarantee you that if that is the case, and that is the final outcome, you will have Democrats, certain Democrats, lining up as early as January of next year. They'll probably wait until right after the inauguration, but they'll be lining up to throw their hat in the ring for 2016.
Oh, absolutely. And the person, who, by the way, who has already slipped, this was on the air, in an interview with Rob Portman, Candy Crowley called Romney President Romney. I'll be quite honest, she can pat herself on the back for helping make that happen, because a lot of people did not like the way that she acted during the second debate, very clearly favoring the president. And she was very clear when she took the job that she was going to favor the president, and that served Romney well because there is an inherent dislike of the mainstream media, and she is very clearly a member of the mainstream media.
Certainly.
And she is one of the ones who is partisan and is proud of it, which is exactly why, for instance, CNN is rather rapidly swirling the bowl headed for the sanitary sewer on its way out. CNN's going to have to do something to recover their reputation, or they are going to be in very sad condition. In any case, Crowley and the like have very obviously been stumping for Barack Obama, and it shows, and all it has done is to serve to further motivate the Republican vote, and essentially has done nothing to motivate what was a very energetic Democratic vote in 2008. What has taken, and again, Barack Obama has been instrumental in taking the wind out of the sails of the 2008 vote by the bungling that he has done, especially of late in things like the Benghazi attacks. Now, I'm saying this from an analytical standpoint, not that I think Romney would have done any better.
No, probably not. I would certainly agree with that analysis. But, Chuck, you know, this whole situation has not been so much of an idea about really broad themes, other than you see some broad themes that have come out, a handful, economy, on the right. So the broad theme that's probably the most important to our audience is the broad theme on religious liberties. Now, we are, like I said, we're into the final 72 hours. This is the eve before the election, so probably by tomorrow, when people hear our Tuesday program, the votes will be going on and will not be finished yet. Talking about that probably later in the week, about how the polls broke out, the expected outcomes are. But if you tuned in over the weekend, if you did anything except, you know, shut down every outside media source you could possibly think of, you were barraged with messaging. And some of the most, what would be considered a 527 group, who are not affiliated specifically with any of the campaigns. But one of the ones that I heard over the weekend was a radio spot. Now, and I wish we had the actual audio that we could play for our listeners, but we don't. But what we have is a transcript of the 60-second radio spot. This was run by Faith and Freedom Coalition. Now, Faith and Freedom Coalition is the brainchild of Ralph Reed, he of the former Christian Coalition fame, and also the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal infamy. Yes, Ralph, he's back working in Republican politics, and he has created this Faith and Freedom Coalition. And here in our state, in Ohio, the state chairman for Faith and Freedom is somebody who's familiar to us, Chuck, and also to many of our listeners, and that's Ken Blackwell, the former Secretary of State. So they're running these ads in battleground states, swing states. I think they're running here and in Wisconsin and possibly in Pennsylvania and possibly Michigan and some other states. But I wanted to go through this, read the text of the ad, and then I want to share with our listeners, and you and I both could do this, some of the thoughts that came to us as we listened to this. Okay? So if you'll bear with us, ladies and gentlemen, here's the ad. It's an appalling attempt to reverse so much of what made America great, Obama's war on religion. Barack Obama forced Christian charities to pay for health services that violate their faith. He waffled on his support for Israel. Obama claimed in a Muslim country that America is not a Christian nation. Obama lobbied for same-sex marriage, removed the name of God from his platform, reinserting it as delegates booed, said Congress had better things to do when it reaffirmed that, quote, in God we trust. Better things than honoring God? Like what? Like Obamacare, runaway spending, redefining marriage, and attacking religion. On November 6, we're stopping Barack Obama. Faith and Freedom Coalition paid for and is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee, www.ffcoalition.com. Chuck, that's the whole text of this radio spot. And as I heard this, ladies and gentlemen, I just sat back and I thought to myself, and I know that if you've been a regular listener to our program, you know that we've been a little strong on this issue, especially among those who called on the name of Christ and called themselves Christian believers, about why they're supporting someone like Mitt Romney. But Chuck, I understand it. I really do. And this ad really crystallized in my mind what this is really all about. And that is that these people in the Catholic community, people of faith, have realized that choices matter. Choices, what I don't think that they've seen is that they have been making these type of choices for a long time now, and they're finally seeing the fruit of those decisions. Barack Obama, has been very horrible. We'll all admit that very, very quickly. He has been very horrible. If you're a believer or a person of faith, even though Barack Obama claims to be a Christian, we know he went to Jeremiah Wright's church, and what Wright was preaching was not the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the gospel of Karl Marx. But the point is that he has used the power of his office, and you and I can debate that, Chuck. I don't necessarily think that he has this legitimate power, but because Congress sits by idly doing nothing except worrying about having a bad day in the media over calling him out on some of these things, he's had the ability, carte blanche, to really flex the muscle of the executive and reach into areas that no executive in the past really has felt comfortable with delving into. We talk about Obamacare and health care issues. Well, we all know that health care is something that the Republicans think that the government ought to have a role in, too. They just want to have a different size.
Yeah, you say that you use the phrase feel comfortable. You use the phrase feel comfortable with, I'd say, dare to.
Okay, very good.
And the fact is that it is so blatantly unconstitutional, for which the Congress has done nothing. Nothing.
No, not at all.
And it is their job to ride oversight on the executive and the judicial branches. And, of course, under John Boehner, they have done nothing of the sort.
And what they've seen are all of these things that they have felt in the past were secure, be not so secure when you have someone who knows the power of an aggressive executive branch and a weak and ineffectual legislative branch. And is using that whole idea about, and of course, some of these things are, I would say, more legitimate than others. Forcing organizations to pay for things that goes against their belief system, I think, is a big issue. I'll be the first to say that. I don't believe such a big issue is whether or not the name of God is in the platform. Let's just be quite honest about it, because a platform is just a wish list or a something to get people excited about, to get them drawn into the party, but really you're never going to make any kind of serious inroads about upholding the platform, and anybody who calls you uphold your platform gets shoved to the side as a pariah. Just ask Ken Blackwell when he tried to had to get the Ohio Republicans to hold to their platform.
And ask Ron Paul.
And ask Ron Paul as well. So I don't see the platform issue as being a big issue, but the same-sex marriage thing is a fairly big issue, but I think many of our evangelical friends are mixed on that. They really want government to have a role on same-sex marriage. They just want them to outlaw it, to make it illegal, even though there's no constitutional provision for that particular issue. It's something that should be left up to the states or to the people. And when we leave it to the people, we're seeing, large percentages of the voting public saying we support traditional marriage and we want our laws to reflect that. That's good. That's right. That's the way our founders intended it. So some of these issues, again, I think it's because people feel helpless. They're feeling like there's no place they can turn. And so they're looking for the one thing that they think will be the magic bullet, which is just change the occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. If we do that, everything will be okay.
And that's exactly the problem, Barry. Now, I would love to roll out some illustrations, but guess what?
We're about out of time.
So let's do this. I realize that most people are going to have voted by the time we run the show tomorrow. And let's face it, a couple of guys sitting around in their libraries blabbering on what most people listen to on a very small radio station or on a podcast. We're not going to make that big an impact anyway.
Well, that's okay. And honestly, Chuck, I really want to – let me just say this quickly. I really want to be the one who gets to eat crow.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope, because I don't think anything's going to change significantly for the long haul for people of faith or for Christianity if Mitt Romney is the president. And you know what? I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're the one who gets to say, see, we told you so. And I get to eat a large helping of crow and humble pie. I'll relish the taste of it. But, Chuck, I'm not seeing that banquet being prepared.
Nope. Here's hoping that we're all saying our mea culpas in a few months, but guaranteeing you that we won't. With that being said, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.